if we get a good night's sleep, we wake up in the morning and roll out of bed and say, I'm dead. I feel exhausted. I really haven't gotten the 8 hours sleep I needed, even though I was asleep for 8 hours and 2 minutes. How many of us really even get a full 8 hours of sleep? We're just in a busy society. We find ourselves dragging about, working, working, working on good things, doing good things, mentally exhausting ourselves. We need to be re-energized. We need to be revitalized. We need to get back to where we can draw the energy to go out again. That's why we basically have been given weekends within the labor force of most countries over the last century and a half. The idea is to go home, rejuvenate, and come back on Monday morning ready to work. And of course, being good Americans, what we do is pack our weekend with a lot of other stuff so that we really don't have the energy on Monday to go back, and maybe even some of us go back to work so we can get some rest. But I would hope not to the cheating of our employer. So we find ourselves indeed physically needing to be re-energized. But I would suggest to you that the same is true spiritually. We need to be revitalized spiritually from time to time. The reality is that there is a spiritual weariness that we all face. It isn't necessarily because we have simply turned our back on God. In fact, it's not that at all. It's the fact that we as humans sometimes get caught up in just the quantity of what's going on around us, and we forget to get to the true essence of who we are spiritually. And that spiritual battery within us begins to take its toll until we find that even that spiritual battery is weary. Many times it's because we find ourselves facing sins constantly. Even if it's not our own, we're dealing with the sins that a dear loved one is facing. We're dealing with the sins that a brother or sister in Christ are facing. We're dealing with the sins of someone in our family, someone in our neighborhood, somebody at work. And we're striving to help them, and it's battering us and battering us and battering us. And again, we just find ourselves weary of it all. And when that happens, we don't really recognize that life is spiritually draining to us. We just don't seem to be cognizant of it. We end up getting up in the morning tired and getting the things that we need to get done done. We come home from work and we get the things needing to be done within our homes. We get it done, whether it's to kind of help our spouse who's been with the children all day, or whether it's to regroup to get ready to attack the things of the evening. All the while, our spiritual batteries are being run down. Life does deplete the spiritual resources within us. It is something that does happen. There are a lot of our religious friends about us that have a mistaken idea that the Holy Spirit is a miraculous energizer for us. The Bible clearly teaches, and I believe it to be true, that the Holy Spirit dwells in every child of God. When they come out of the waters of baptism, we have that Holy Spirit with us as a seal before God. But as I've read my Bible, I've not found a verse that says one of the works of the Holy Spirit is to regenerate, re-energize the spirit that gets depleted. Again, a lot of our religious friends would say, well, wait a minute. No, no. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit keeps me charged up. No, He doesn't. He has a work for us. He has a work within us, but that's not one of them. So we need to recognize that indeed, we will find ourselves being depleted of spiritual resources. You know, Job says in Job the 10th chapter, verse 1, my soul loathes my life. I will give free course to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Now, we could, if we wanted to, dismiss this passage because Job is speaking at a time when he has lost everything but his wife. He's lost his children. He's lost his wealth. He has lost his health. We have not lost those things. And yet there are times we too would speak with Job that our soul just loathes our very existence. We have probably found ourselves all saying at some time, I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. It's happened to me. And I suspect it's happened to you. So that is a reality that is before us. The spirit of man grows tired. It is wearied by all that is around us and by the wickedness of the world before us. The unrighteousness of those that we love dearly and the unrighteousness that we ourselves sometimes find ourselves engaged in. We need to recognize that indeed we can be re-energized. But can the world, can this world do the re-energizing that we need? I think we all recognize that the answer to that is no. In fact, material things, worldly things, earthly things are never going to truly re-energize any of us. It's impossible. It lacks the ability to give us that refreshing power, that refreshing energy. In fact, I would suggest to you this equivalent. And this is from a man who, as often as he could in college, took any science course, pass-fail. What I'm telling you is, this is from a guy that's not too bright about science. But I can tell you this. If a nuclear power plant begins to run down, the Duracell bunny cannot go in and recharge it. It can't. To think that this world can recharge my spirituality is the same. Frankly, I think this is a great illustration. It's the same as to think you could go to a nuclear power plant and say, here's a couple of AA batteries, put those down in there and just never mind about the rods and all the stuff that's involved. They'd laugh at you. Actually, they'd probably have security there to take you away. Look, when I look at the things around me, the things that I might possess, the things I would desire to acquire on this earth, and think that from that I can re-energize myself in my relationship with my God, oh, I am fooling myself. I am just not realizing the totality my dependence upon God. So we need to understand that truth to be clear. Let's read a few verses together without comment on most of them. Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, and verse 3 says, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? In verse 8, all things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. In 2 and verse 11, then I looked at all the works that I my hands had done and all the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. In 2:17, therefore, I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing me. For all is vanity and grasping for the wind. In 2:22 and 23, for what is a man for all his labor? And for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun, for all his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. in verse 26 of chapter 2. For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting that he may give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for wind. Peter tells us in 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. There is no redemptive quality whatsoever in anything I can put my hands on and say, look what I possess. It has no redemptive quality for my soul and for who I am before God. And therefore we recognize and know that earthly things will not re-energize. Life is overwhelmingly oppressive. I do not mind you leaving here this morning saying, wow, I felt weighed down by that lesson as I look at the things I have. I hope you will not leave here thinking, wow, I feel repressed and beat down on the spiritual hope before me. In fact, I would hope you would feel just the opposite about that. The fact that no matter what is going on around me, no matter the circumstances I find myself in right now, in any relationship whatsoever, yes, it may be overwhelming, but it is not eternal. It will come to an end. And with it coming to an end will be a better life for each and every one of us. We recognize then that this life takes more than it gives. It really does for the overwhelming majority of us. For most of us, unless we die suddenly of an accident, our bodies will run down. Our bodies will stop functioning as they are expected to function. And our life force, our souls, will leave our bodies. It may be at the age of 80. It may be at the age of 90. It may be at the age of 75. As the organs simply shut down and we go to our rest. And when that has happened, we will know that all that had sustained this body, all that had given this body pleasure, all that had given this body any sense of wealth or warmth or coolness at appropriate times, it's gone. It's fleeting. It's of no significance. And it took from me rather than gave to me. And if our perspective is right, that's as it should be, and that's as it will be. In the book of Genesis, Rebekah says in 27 and verse 46 to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? She wanted her son to marry somebody that would be upright. And the thought of her not doing so simply wearied her. We do indeed find life to be exhausting. So, can this material world re-energize us? The answer is no. True energy is going to come from the book. True energy is going to come from the Bible. And that's going to be the only source. As we consider the fact that God is the giver of the rest that we seek. Many of you may know that I have a CPAP machine. And it forces air into my lungs at night and lets me get some degree of rest. My wife would be more than happy to discuss with you how much rest she gets the nights that I wrestle with that thing. But nonetheless, there's some rest that comes from it. But you know something? The true rest that comes for each one of us is from God the Father. No machines, no pills, but rather God the Father. We notice, for example, in Isaiah 28 and verse 12, to whom he says, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Isaiah wanted to turn them back to God, back to His law, to His way. But the people of Israel didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to seek the true rest that is for each and every one of us. We need to recognize that indeed, we find the earliest Christians were energized and re-energized both when they became Christians and when they maintained their spirituality. Open your Bibles with me over to Acts, the second chapter. You'll recall the setting in Acts, the second chapter. The apostles are preaching the resurrected Christ. The Holy Spirit has been poured out. And in the pouring out, Peter is talking to a group of the people of Jerusalem and Judea. And he presents to them the fact that the events that they had seen occur about 40 to 50 days earlier, it was 50 days earlier, the events that they had seen were the events surrounding Messiah, the one they had been looking for. We find then, as we begin at verse 36, reading together, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Now with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued, now notice, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. Then fear fell upon all and every soul, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as everyone had need. So continuing daily in one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. They found themselves energized by hearing what the apostles had to say. That's the Word of God. They found their power in their relationship with each other, in strengthening each other, not just in their physical presence, but the fact that they shared the Word with one another. Even later, as the church begins to grow, we find that Peter reminds them there in Acts 3 and verse 19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. He was calling on his fellow Israelites to accept Messiah and allow the true refreshing of your being, the true refreshing of who you are, to be found within the Lord. Indeed, it is absolutely remarkable that that revitalization, that re-energizing, comes from God, from His Word, and from all that He has blessed us with within that Word. It enriches us. It allows us to be cheered. It allows us to be stimulated as we go to the Word. Becoming a child of God does, as this passage reminds us, does promise us a refreshing of our souls. We are re-energized, quite simply, when we come to church. By that I mean when we come to the assembly, when we come to worship God, we are re-energized. We are revitalized. That's the purpose of our singing together. That's the purpose of the preaching of the Word. Even if sometimes the sermons are of rebuke, it is the rebuke to remove sin, to energize us. The singing, the praying that we're involved in, all of this is that we might be revitalized. So each and every one of us need to be careful. When something gets in the way of coming together to worship God, we need to be careful of what that something is. Oftentimes, we have other choices, and we choose them rather than coming and worshiping God together. And if you do that repeatedly, you're depriving yourself, you're robbing yourself of one of the great energies that God gives you in reviving yourself, re-energizing yourself. Read your Bible. I'll tell you what, the four things I'm going to put up here, I've talked about them before, but we need to be reminded of them. Oracles to Eagles. How many of you read this week's Oracles to Eagles? Great. There are more out there for next week. Each day, Monday through Saturday, short readings. They're intended to help you soar as a child of God. I would hope that you'll get one of them, take it home, and read it. Read the Bible every day. You want to get your battery charged? It's not by watching a good movie. It's not by just sitting back and taking a nap and relaxing. You want to get your spiritual battery charged? Plug into the Word. Plug into the Word. And He'll light you up. He'll give you the energy. Well, we're going to do all four of them now. Pray throughout the day. Don't do your "now I lay me down to sleeps" at night. Take time throughout the day to send up those little arrows to God that are in your heart, whether they are praise and thanksgiving to Him or whether they're about people that are on your mind. I would imagine every one of us have bombarded God in prayer for Billy, as it should be on a daily basis. But I would hope that we are bombarding God in prayer for the spiritual needs of people around us. Some who have been among us and now walk in darkness. Some who have not yet come to the light. Some who are walking in the light and they find themselves stumbling from time to time to time. They continue to strive to walk in the light. Don't anybody think that you don't have much to pray about, so you might as well just wait and save it before you go to bed. If you want to be re-energized, you go to God in prayer just thanking Him, just praising Him, just speaking words of praise. You'll come away after that amen spiritually charged. You go to God in prayer about someone among us whom you know to be spiritually struggling, and you pour your heart out in God to Him, before Him in your prayers, you'll come away refreshed. Share Christ at every opportunity. I think this is going to come up a second time. Share Christ at every opportunity. But everybody that I work around, I've talked to them before about Christ. I want to put a little challenge before you today. Share Christ one more time this week. Find some way, whether it's to take an Oracles to Eagles and give Him a copy, give her a copy, say, read these over. Whether it's to print out one of the meditations and take it to them. Whether it's simply a word from the Word. Even if you've told them 1,000 times. One more time this week. next Saturday is not the birth date of Christ as far as I know. The scriptures never tell us a thing about when it is. We don't know. The world right now is centered on Christ, and that's good. Take advantage of this opportunity. Tell them about, yes, the beautiful Jesus of the manger is a sweet thing, but even sweeter is the bloodied Jesus on the cross. Because that's where your salvation comes. That's where your hope is. The beautiful thing of Jesus is the rock that's been opened, the grave that's empty. That's the great thing of your soul. That's the hope that you have in Jesus. So this week, share Christ at every opportunity that you have. Re-energize yourself. Be re-energized. Recognize that when Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," that's what he means. Have you come to Jesus yet? Have you taken advantage of his rest? We're about to sing a song of encouragement. We would hope that if there's any in the audience, and there are some, who have not yet taken on the energy of the forgiveness of sins that's found in the blood of Christ, I would hope that you'll do that today. And we'll witness your burial, we'll witness your resurrection, we'll witness you becoming that new creature. If there's a child of God that desires that we pray with you about some matter, if your energies have been depleted, and you want us to pray together that you might be re-energized within the Word and within your walk, then let's pray together. If you have a need to respond, we invite you to have a seat here at the front as we stand together and as we sing.